Thanks for joining us. My name is Jim Herr. I'm a group program manager for the program integration group at Microsoft. We're here to talk about Microsoft integration today. Joining me on the demo stage is the very popular rock star, Jeff Holland.
You've probably seen me from my other appearances on such things as Logic Apps Live, so kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so he was in the green room a little earlier powdering his nose and stuff, and I told him he didn't have to do that here.
But it's Can you not say that in front of everyone, Jim, please?
It's just the nature that he gets into. So I'm fairly new to Microsoft. I've started the first of the year. Previous to that, I've been building enterprise software for many, many, many years. It's good to see other people with little gray hair in the room, because usually I don't work around anybody with gray hair. So thanks for joining us. The last couple years, though, after I took a break from designing software, in the last couple years I spent working in an enterprise, helping them, working directly for the CIO and his leadership team, really helping them bring innovation into their application development platform, as well as managing innovation, as well as application integration. So are there any CIOs in the room? Just before I get started, I just want to be... Just wanted, in case I told any CIO jokes, I just wanted to make sure I was in good crowd. So there's not a single CIO in the room. Are there any CTOs in the room? Just curious. Okay, we've got a couple, so I'll be careful around the CTO jokes.
All no right. Lawyers, though, right?
Yeah.
No lawyers?
We don't care about lawyers. We're going to tell those jokes regardless.
Awesome.
Good. So in working with CIOs, it's really fun now. I get to talk with a lot of CIOs during the course of talking about integration. And one CIO was sharing a story with me that he does these annual surveys where he surveys both the IT organization and the business users. And this particular CIO had about 15,000 people in his enterprise, 400 in IT, and about 1,500 leaders that represent the 15,000 people in the workforce. And he asked this question. He said, pick any animal that describes the agility of your IT team. And the first people that answered was the IT organization. And of course, the IT organization said, oh man, we're a cheetah. I mean, just look at that beautiful animal. I mean, look how fast it can run. Look how focused it is. Look how strong that animal is. And that's what IT said. IT said, yes, we are a cheetah. We're strong, we're agile, we're fast, we move, we're focused. And then the business users responded. And the business users responded and said, oh, no, they're more like a turtle. They don't move very quickly. They got a hard protective shell. They're a turtle. And the CIO was talking to me about this, and we were talking about the why do we have this gap? What's driving this gap in this perception? And so in talking with them, one of the first things that I brought up was, I challenged this whole concept of CIO. So I want you to think about the question about, are there any CIOs in the room in a different light? Now I'm going to ask you, are there any CIOs are any of you CIOs in your own home? Do you make the purchase decision of which router you buy? Do you decide which streaming device you're going to get? Do you decide, what equipment's going on in your home in terms of that, who has that connected toaster? I just want to know who made that decision. So really, actually stand up. If you're the CIO of your home, come on, let's just get this moving. I want the room to look around. I want to see how many of you are the CIOs of your home. Now, stay standing if you're also the CTO of your home, if you're making those buying decisions in terms of technology and all of that. So look around a little bit, see? So all of you are CIOs. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so the first thing that we really have to understand in the gap between what's going on with the perception between IT and the business users is that everyone is a CIO. Everybody is starting to think that way. Everybody's thinking about, well, I manage my wireless printer. I know my wife calls me when she can't print. It's like, honey, the printer won't work. Or if Netflix is lagging, my kids, Dad, Netflix is lagging, right? It's like I'm the CTO, CIO, and the system admin guy as well, right? When somebody needs to get on the network. So it's just the way that people are starting to think. And so the other thing is there's an app for that. There's over 2 million apps now in the Apple iStore, right? So there's 2 million apps. If there's something that you want to do, whether it's track your food or track your weight or have your scale automatically connect to an app and show that to you, or your blood pressure or any of those kinds, there's an app for that. I mean, it's hard to even think of a new app because there's an app for that. In fact, most of the time there's 10 apps for that, right? So that's the other thing, is just the amount of apps and the amount of things that you can do. The third is that apps are connected and have a first-class experience. So when you take a picture on your phone, you expect to be able to post it to Facebook, right? You just expect that the Facebook app knows about the camera app, and all of those things are connected. In fact, you get a little frustrated when your favorite app isn't talking to something, right? So again, I have an app where I track all of the food that I eat, and it talks to my Ything scale and keeps track of my weight, and then it can yell at me and stuff if my weight goes up and my calories are going up, and it can tell me, hey, see, look at dummy, you're eating too much. You know, In-N-Out's not working, right? So those apps can all talk to each other, and so people are experiencing and get more frustrated when apps don't talk to each other. And then we live in a self-service world. So I mean, just think about that for a second. How many of you booked your own flight to come here, right? So, you know, if you wanted to change the seat on the airline, you would be pretty frustrated if you had to actually call a human being to do that, right? I mean, we're so spoiled. Oh, I wonder if I can get out of this middle seat. I know I do it all the time, right? If I had to go to the counter and do that again, that would be a terrible customer service experience. So we are now being trained, all of us are being trained, to really live in this self-service world. We want to be able to do things ourselves without having to call somebody to do that. And so really what all of this leads up to is something that I'm calling the citizen CIO effect. I kind of stole this from CSI. Remember that TV show CSI that Mark Harmon is on? Yeah, and so there was a CSI effect, and what happened was it really had an effect on juries. Juries automatically assumed that DNA should be able to be done in 15 minutes and that every crime should be able to be solved in an hour, right? And that really started having problems with the jury pool. Well, the same kind of thing is happening now with the CIO effect. The fact that people in your organizations expect that there should be an app for that. So they just automatically expect that anything that you want to do in your organization, you should be able to have an app to be able to do that. If it's update their, you know, personal information in terms of if they move or if they want to change their benefits or if they, you know, whatever they want to do, if they want to order business cards or whatever the case may be, they don't want to go through some, you know, they don't want to go through anybody. They don't want to have to call anybody. They just want to be able to pick up an app and do that. Business users want to be more empowered. They don't want to go through IT. They really want to be able to be empowered to be able to do more because they can do more in their personal lives. And so that's just the experience that they're looking for. And then everything should be connected. You know, they get really, really frustrated when they have these line of business legacy systems that won't talk to anything else, right? And they're like, man, why doesn't this talk to that? One of the things that we had to do when I was in IT was the HR department decided to go by Workday. Didn't really talk to IT a whole lot. They just, you know, decided to go by Workday, and then they gave Workday to IT and said, here, now make this work. And make this work so when you onboard through Workday, it automatically goes through AD and everything just works, right? And that took 18 months for us to get that to work. And they were so frustrated that we took 18 months to get Workday after they had purchased it. In fact, I still remember the conversation about why are we paying for this and we're not even using it yet conversation. And so they just expect everything to be connected. And IT should run at the speed of business. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that. How many of you have heard that in your own organizations, that IT should start running at the speed of business? Good, so I'm not the only one. And so that really leads to this concept that in this ever increasing speed of innovation outside of work, it really puts pressure on the folks at work to be able to innovate quicker. And really in the heart of all of this is integration. Integration is the bottleneck. Integration is what's making these things challenging. Integration is really one of the reasons why you're moving slower. And so what Microsoft decided to do late last year and early this year was really take a step back and start looking at integration more holistically. And so with that, we reorganized the entire organization. in order to really start thinking and bringing those teams together, to really start thinking of integration and how do we really help you speed up. So some of the challenges that we knew you faced was, first of all, these line of business applications need to be extendable. People need to be able to know how to access those line of business applications. They need to know what the APIs that exist there, and they need to be able to know how to consume those APIs within those legacy systems, and to be able to have all the controls and workflows around that. We also know that if you're going to start buying SaaS applications, and all of you, we're already down, this train's already left the station, that now when they buy these SaaS applications, they want to be able to integrate into them. And we have to make it simpler. We have to make it, oh, you want to be able to use this SaaS application? We have a solution for that. Oh, you want to use that SaaS application? We have a solution for that. As opposed to just reacting with, you bought what? We have to be able to change the dialogue that we have with the business and be able to say, yeah, we can support those. Yep, those are really great applications that'll make the business more efficient. We can support those. And then mobile apps, it just has to speed up. We can't continue to take 6 months, 9 months, a year to roll out these custom heavy mobile applications. When you really look at underneath the skin of mobile applications, most of the time they're mashups, right? Most of the time it's grabbing data from your systems of record and pulling that information and presenting it in a different presentation layer to users. And so we have to start thinking differently in terms of how can we start cranking out and maintaining applications at a much faster rate. So what's driving the digital transformation that you've heard about in the keynotes and you've been hearing about from us and others for a while? First of all, applications are everywhere. And we need to really start thinking holistically in terms of how we can tap into that. The next thing is data. I think data is really where the rubber hits the road, right? It's really getting access and unlocking that data. And I think, we even talked about that in the keynote, and the fact that it's these rich SaaS applications, what they're really doing is making that data available in a much richer way. And then we really need to be thoughtful about connecting everything. And integration is the backbone. And Gartner agrees. I mean, these are just stuff that Gartner and Forrester have been talking about for a while in terms of having a hybrid integration strategy. 75% of all of your organizations, that they surveyed with Gartner are going to have it in just 4 years. We're going to have 3/4 of the enterprises starting to focus on that. Cost of mobile applications in terms of, it's all about integration. And then when we start looking at all kinds of internet devices, whether it's a wearable or whether it's a device that you're deploying out in the field in your company, integration is really where the difficult work really happens. So Microsoft's integration strategy and platform. So what I want to do is just kind of give you an introduction of, since this is all fairly new, a lot of you haven't heard or seen this before, so I want to roll through this, and then we're going to have Jeff actually build some integrations right in front of you just to show you just exactly how we can do this in a very agile manner. I want to talk about how our group is organized. So we are in the Crowd and Enterprise division. We are in a group called BAPI. And in BAPI, we have the pro user products as well as the pro dev products. So you'll see that we are over here in pro integration. So we're focusing primarily on all of those personas, the people that are in that are IT pros, the application integrator, that pro integrator, the person that lives in Visual Studio, knows Microsoft Azure really well. That is really the person that we're focusing all of our efforts for. The group above us, the power users, where we have Power BI, Power Apps, and Power Flow, those pro citizens, the citizen integrators, those power users is one level above us. And it's important to note that the Microsoft Flow product, which I hope you've all played with, it's a really beautiful product. It's a SaaS-based workflow product, if you haven't played with it yet. It's actually built on top of Logic Apps. So all of the work that we did in Logic Apps was done so we could enable and light up Microsoft Flow. The good news there is that Microsoft Flow is being is rolling out to millions of Office 365 users. We've got all kinds of companies now that are wanting to build connectors and stuff for that ecosystem. And the great news is when they build a connector for Flow, it automatically becomes part of the Logic Apps family as well. So that means all of you will get it in the pro group. So there's a lot of synergy, a lot of strategy that really is playing well into that. So that's just this picture is really just designed to really show you how we're part of a bigger strategy. In the pro integration space, we have API management, we've got Logic Apps, and we have BizTalk Server. How many BizTalk Server people are in the room? Great.
Nice. These are the real heroes.
Yeah. So those are you have a lot of patience, and we love you to death for that. So now Pro Integration has those three products. We all work very closely together. We meet regularly together. When I say regularly, like every day, we're seeing each other and talking about how to make a better first-class experience between these products. But we also work across all of the Pro lines as well. So that means, and Jeff's going to actually be showing a little bit about how we use Power Apps in the demonstration today. And by the way, just to kind of set Jeff up to even add this a little bit more color on this, he didn't really have the scenario that I laid out for him until about 3 days ago. So he didn't. So when we talk about being fast, we're putting it to the test because I love doing that to Jeff because first of all, he lives for it, and he never says no to me, which is just awesome in terms of I think I can do that. It's a great scenario. So
I haven't slept in 72 hours. No, yeah, it's fast. I'll build it all on stage.
Right.
It's incredible.
Okay. So in the heart of Pro Integration, we have BizTalk and Logic Apps. BizTalk is our on-prem solution. We've got BizTalk Server 2016 that's released to manufacturing already. It's got a GA that's coming out. It's actually going to be on the 12.1 price sheet. Those of you that are on the Software Assurance Program are going to get it at the end of October. So that train is pretty much left. John Fancy's here on our PM group. He manages that product, and BizTalk 2016 has been really reinvested in terms of it runs across our latest stack, Windows Server, SQL Server. It's been freshened across all of those platforms, as well as we actually created an adapter and connector to Logic Apps. So now Logic Apps is our cloud-based, Azure-based workflow engine, so many of the capabilities that are in BizTalk Server we're refactoring that into Azure and putting that into the Logic Apps product. So you're going to see a lot of that functionality already lit up, and you're seeing more of that capabilities lit up in Azure to give you that full BizTalk orchestration functionality in the cloud. The great thing is because we built connectors and adapters between Logic Apps and BizTalk, those can actually talk with each other. So, I have another slide where I'll go through and show you some examples of why we think that's pretty cool. But that's really the heart of integration. And then we have API management, and then Azure Service Bus is not part of our team, but we work very closely with them. In fact, we're working on actually improving that first-class experience with Azure Service Bus. And Kevin Lamb, who is down, is the principal PM for Logic Apps, and he can also talk about some of the work we're doing with BizTalk Service Bus. I'm sorry, Azure Service Bus. And then we have our connectors and Azure services. And I'm going to go into a little bit depth in this, but this just kind of gives you the holistic feeling of what our hybrid integration platform really looks like in terms of connectors, Azure services, which is really our secret sauce in terms of how we've mapped that out. Okay, a little bit more, let's go into a little bit more detail now. So, first of all, in the connectors, we have connectors and we have connections. So connectors are our first-class capabilities with specific applications that we've worked with that really allow us to make it very easy to connect to another SaaS-based application. Connections are the connections that are managed underneath that. So an example of that might be Dropbox. We have a connector to Dropbox that makes it very easy for you to connect to it. and to be exposed the authentication so you can log into your Dropbox. The connection management actually allows for the management of that connection. And the other great thing about it is it completely scales. So no matter how much activity you want to throw through that Dropbox connector, we will scale that automatically through our connection system and be able to manage that. So it's fully scalable, it's fully managed. You don't have to install anything in a VM. You don't have to worry about updating it or any of those things. It's all managed for you. So think of it truly as a managed service. As you can see, the spectrum of connectors we have today is growing. We're literally putting out new connectors almost every week. I get to sit in on the connectors team as they're talking about what's in the pipeline and what's coming. We're also lighting up extensibility for our connectors platform, which is starting to drive other companies that are coming in and asking if they can start deploying their connectors in Azure as well, so we can light up even more. We've also done a lot of great work on the enterprise integration side of the house in terms of we now fully support AS2 encryption using with Edifax and X12. John Fancy's been leading all of that work as well, so he can talk to you a little bit more in detail, all of the protocols, and then we continue to work on some of our more enterprise-rich connectors like SAP and Oracle EBS. So when we think about Azure services, this is really the secret sauce in terms of what we're doing with some of the integration, and Jeff's got some really great things he's going to show you in the demo, but I want to just call out a couple things. We were in London talking with a series of customers, and one of the customers was in the health club space. So think of an LA Fitness or a 24-hour fitness kind of organization where you have hundreds of locations and everybody has a key card that allows them to get into these fitness studios. And they use a SaaS-based application, a standard off-the-shelf SaaS-based application for managing members. So they manage all of their members. And they manage the gate, that system manages their check-ins. So when they use that key to come in or out of the health studio, it gets registered. They also register when you do a Zumba class or a spin class. They know if you walked into that room and out of that room. So they're managing all of that. And they were like, yeah, we want to be able to connect this member management system with our back-end financial system. Can you help us do that through Logic Apps? And of course, Jeff's like, yeah, of course, let me show you how to do that. You've got APIs here and there, and let me show you how to wire them all together. But as we were talking through that, I said, so you mainly want to do a point-to-point integration between this health system and the financial system. Yep, we want to do that. I go, what are you doing right now on an analysis in terms of predicting which members may leave because they're not using your clubs? And they said, really, none at all. And so then Jeff said, well, why don't we start throwing some of that data, since we already have the connection, why don't we start taking some of that data, and why don't we start giving it to machine learning and start doing predictive analysis, looking at people that are not, you know, based on their behaviors, that they then leave the health club 3 months, 6 months later. They leave because of this behavior, and let's start mapping that, and then we can start creating preemptive marketing activities to re-engage them. So before they even start thinking about quitting, we're now doing other programs to re-engage them in the health club in order to cut down on the number of people canceling out. And so that really kind of changed the whole game for them when they started thinking about integration in a whole different way. And the integration folks in the room were like, wow, we can't just be point-to-point integrators anymore. We really have to be thoughtful about, wow, we have this data, what more can we do? By using some of that data and tossing it over to some of our Azure services. Jeff's going to be showing you another example of using the sentiment analysis engine that we have in cognitive services as well. Okay, so just walking through how we can orchestrate, how we really connected all of this together, is we have Logic Apps, which really makes it simple to connect all of these SaaS-based applications that we have connectors for, and basically anything with an API, we really can make it simple for you to do that. The other nice thing about Logic Apps is the pricing model is completely consumption-based. That means you don't have to, unlike our competitors, they're going to ask you to spend a minimum of $500 a month to $10,000 a month, or a minimum of $200,000 to buy their software. We just let you fire up a Logic Apps. It's completely serverless, so you don't have to worry about buying VMs or any of those kinds of things. You just start partying right on Logic Apps, and you pay as you go. And we give you such an abundance number of compute for just a, you know, we're talking about 10, 20 bucks to get started in terms of, I mean, it would really be hard for you to do that right out of the gate. It's really, really affordable to get started. So the first thing you need to understand is Logic Apps we removed all of the friction of any cost, any, I need to go get approval to buy this stuff. We just completely put that to rest and made it really, really simple. We just want you on the platform. We're looking at it from a play of we want you on Azure. We may not make all the money on Logic Apps, but if we start getting you in Azure, then you know we're looking at the end game of what does it mean, what's your annual spend going to be on Azure going to be total all in, and so we just want Logic Apps to be another entrance to come into that. So you can start playing with Logic Apps for hardly any money at all. In fact, the team jokes about it a lot. It's amazing what $8 will buy. But the Logic Apps allows you to connect with, like I said, with any of these SaaS-based applications. And you can do all kinds of really interesting orchestrations up in the cloud. And then we have on-premise gateway that then gives you access to your on-premise connectivity in terms of being able to, you know, connect to like a SQL Server as an example. But we also have now the ability to connect to BizTalk. And BizTalk can connect. I didn't want to change the slide and make it exactly correct architecturally, but BizTalk can actually connect directly to Logic Apps, and Logic Apps can call BizTalk. So let's paint a picture. Let's just say that your organization uses Salesforce, all right? So, and they enter an order. Your sales organization enters an order in Salesforce. You want that order in Salesforce to go through workflow, and then you want the order actually entered into SAP. That is all now lit up. You can now do that today. So just by using Salesforce to Logic Apps to BizTalk, and BizTalk to SAP. And so that also means that if you have orchestrations that happen in on-prem, that you can have BizTalk do all of that workload, and then it package it all up, and then ship it off to Logic Apps. So let's say that somebody enters an order in SAP or enters a new customer in SAP, might be even a better example, and you want to take that new customer information, populate it in Salesforce so the sales team knows about it. At the same time, you want to do a shout out on Yammer to the region that has that customer and say, hey, congratulations, we have a new customer. So you could package that up, give it to Logic Apps. Logic Apps would take it, automatically connect to Yammer, automatically post it in that group, and automatically put it in Salesforce for you. Those are the kinds of scenarios that we are lighting up, you know, that Jeff does almost every day. So helps customers figure out. So Jeff, I think I've teed you up pretty well,
I'm
right?
Ready. Let's show them. So we gave a lot of promises. Let's help them realize them.
Why don't you tell them about a couple of customers you've been working with?
Sure. So if there's one thing I want you to see after I'm done showing you and getting our hands dirty, we've got some fun demos as well as some T-shirts and stickers to give out. These are a few of the customers that we've worked with. I just selected a few who've been able to implement across the Microsoft integration stack. I'm just going to call out three quickly. One is Reply SolidSoft. They're a company out of the UK, and they're working right now with a client who does supermarkets and groceries in that type of field. And they wanted to extend their systems to start doing a home delivery service. And they were able to implement Azure API management and Logic Apps to extend their existing systems, to go and accept customer orders, to talk to the vendor systems, to set the delivery schedule and all of those things very rapidly. And they did this all through VPN. They did it all, none of their APIs they wanted to expose out publicly. So they're using connectivity tools in Azure like VPN and ExpressRoute to keep it completely isolated, but still have powerful workflows and extensions for a hybrid story. The other one is Nordlock, I'll call out quickly. They're out of Norway. Nordlock's out of Sweden. And they are a manufacturing company, and they were able to take an existing legacy ERP system, and they also wanted to start taking advantage of some cloud offerings like Dynamics 365. And so they stuck Logic Apps in the middle so that as events happen in the cloud, it orchestrates with their on-premises ERP system and vice versa. And finally, eSmart Systems is implementing an enterprise service bus pattern through Logic Apps. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this pattern. Often, many companies don't want to do point-to-point integrations as much anymore. They don't want to just say, hey, I'm going to take SQL and I'm going to stick it in SAP. But instead, they create this universal enterprise service bus where all the events that happen across the enterprise can go into that service bus, and anything that needs to register when an order is placed, it just kicks off and does it work. And so eSmart Systems built this enterprise service bus pattern using Azure Service Bus and Logic Apps along with their APIs. And we got a quote from them. They said, with Logic Apps, we can deploy integration solutions quickly and don't have to deal with overhead to manage the solution. Logic Apps makes us more agile and helps us cut costs significantly. So we're going to kind of show you this. These are some great promises. We have some ways that I just want to show you how quick and easy it is to set this up. So Jim, actually, do you want to kind of set up kind of the business? We're now all employees. You've all been hired now for Contoso,
right?
Your favorite company in the world.
Well, you know,
you may have heard of Microsoft.
We have to be careful. We can't use just any name we want. So Contoso now is this retail organization that we all are a part of. So I want you all to vision this, because we all got to be part of this. So we all now work for Contoso, right? What does Contoso do? It has a retail locations of dog washers. So dog wash locations. How many of you have dogs? Come on. I want to see the dog lovers.
This was your job before you just got hired.
That's right.
We
don't want to wash dogs in our bathtubs anymore, because we get hair everywhere. So now we go to this retail location where we can schedule an appointment to come in, bring our dog. They have the shampoo. They have the towels. They have everything. We do it there, right? So this is a great business model. If you are looking for a business, I encourage you to think very, very serious about this. All right? So we have this business. But we have 600 locations, and just like every retail location, we have to manage all of these leases, right? And leases come and go, so we have a lease department that manages that on when the lease is open and when it starts and when it stops. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the organization is open on that day and stops on that day. So if you're on the website searching for Contoso to find out which local branch is and what their hours are, the last thing you want is the wrong information of where the location is or whether it's really open for business, right? So we need to have this system of record, this legacy system where we've built, where we can keep track of all of this information. So we also have 12 regional managers that are over this location, are over all of 600 locations. And each location also has a branch manager and assistant manager. Each year, about 120 locations move because their lease is up or jurisdictional changes. Just they have to move, so we have to keep track of that. And HQ handles the lease management, but they want to push down all of the actual when these branches open and when they close and stuff to the regional managers, where the regional managers also handle these branch managers. And as you know, branch managers like to move around a lot, right? They like to get promoted, so they go up, or they quit because it's retail and they don't like doing that anymore. So we have a lot of churn in the organization. Other things that the business said that they really wanted to do was, you know, they want to be able to keep track of the store number and what the store's email address is, so customers can go to that and post comments or questions about it, you know, how their experience was. They also want to be able to know what the phone number was. And some of this information I have up there is really important because multiple systems rely on this. If you go to the website and you search for the closest locations, you want to use GPS tracking to tell you here are the store locations and this is how many miles they are away from you. Here's their phone number, these are their hours. And then if you're internal and you're like, oh man, we're full, we don't have any time to take Fido right now, but my store right, you know, two miles away is open, let me call them and see if they can take you. Well, they want to be able to internally know who the manager is or assistant manager or phone number or their email address. They want to be able to have all of that information internally. So you can see multiple people are using this information, from the web, your public customers, to your internal users, and then managing all of this. And they don't want IT involved. They just want IT to build it and then get out of the way. All right? How is that? Did I miss anything?
No, that's. Okay. I think that's a great start.
All right.
So let's start with the first part of most, at least in this case. The resolution here is a little bit high, so I'm going to switch to not be extending my display anymore. It makes demoing a little bit easier. So we have here, this is an API that we have. This is our branch management API. It's pretty simple. You see we have things like get information on a branch. I can also update a branch. Now, in this case, this is an on-premises line of business application right now to do our branch management. Now, I have gone and I've defined this through Swagger. If you're not familiar with Swagger, it's part of the Open API initiative across a number of different companies who have come up with a way to describe RESTful services. And I have a service here, which is Azure API Management, that I can use to centralize and manage all of the APIs across my organization, both on-premises and the cloud. This is sometimes used for things like, hey, I'm going to build an API that I want to monetize. Maybe I'm going to share it out. But often it's used as well to, I'm just going to connect this API management to manage my own internal APIs. I want to know who's calling my APIs in my own company. So you see here I have a great heads-up display. I can see the APIs I have now. I can see how they're being called, who's calling them, if any developers have reported any incidents. And very easily I can add and define new APIs. So in this case, I've already configured VPN, let's say, and I'm just going to import a new API. For now, I'm going to say, hey, I've already got Swagger. It's hanging out over here. Let's just copy this link. And let's just say I want to add a Swagger API, and we're going to call this our branches API, because this API we're going to be using to manage our branches so that we can empower and extend this API so more people can make updates to things like, when are we ready for business? So as I click save here, API management has gone. It's looked at the Swagger. And it knows, hey, I know what your operations are. You can do, you know, update branch and create branch and get branch. I can easily add operations. You see, I have things here like policies or users and security, so I can secure these APIs. One of my favorite things about API management is this developer portal. Now, again, if we think about this more of, this isn't necessarily just for monetizing APIs. In your own business, in your own companies, you probably have a number of different APIs that do many things. And not everyone knows which APIs are where or how to access them. But through API management, I get this portal where here now I have all of the APIs that my company has. You see the branch management API that we just added. And I'm able to click into it and see the different methods. Update branch is what we're going to use in this story. But here's full documentation around this API. I can edit this and add to if I want. But from a very basic standpoint, I know here's how I can call this. I can try it from right in the portal to see what a request and response looks like. And at the bottom here, I even have code samples. So if I'm developing a Java application, I can copy and paste this code and directly start calling against this API. This is a great resource. And what's awesome is that this documentation is auto-generated for you. So you don't have to worry about it being out of date with your actual code because API management makes sure that it's always in sync. So it's very powerful and helpful to use. And so in this case, now we've taken this legacy line of business application, we've imported it into API management, and now we can start granting some secured access to this API. We can extend it out. Now, the problem, as Jim mentioned, that we often run up against in our dog washing business is that a branch will have a lease ready on, let's say, September 1st, but they're not ready to open up for business until the branch manager says they're ready to go. So we need to give some way for a branch manager to give the green light that they're ready to go. And how I want to start this is actually with a Logic App. So here I'm going to switch to the Azure portal again, and this is what an Azure Logic App looks like. This is a new one. I'm going to go ahead and click Head Edit here. And Logic Apps gives me this nice visual designer. So I don't even have to worry about code as I integrate across different systems. I can just define it, and as soon as a trigger gets executed, it starts. Now, for this scenario, I'm going to trigger this Logic App from a Power App. I'm going to equip my branch managers with a Power App, and I'm going to say, hey, when you need to update something, update it. I'll show you the Power App in a second. And it's going to fire off this Logic App. And here I can start adding additional steps as I need. You'll notice we have a number of different services. Jim showed the list, over 45 connectors. But for now, let's say our scenario is if they're updating something like an email address, I don't really care about that. Let them update whatever email address is their current email address. But if they're updating when the business opening date is, maybe I want to run that through some approval first. I don't want them to just have full access to my API. So I can add things like conditions into a Logic App. I can add some more logic. So I'm going to go ahead and add a condition, and I'm going to make sure that a branch start date is not being updated. And again, with this visual designer, you'll see that I actually have prompts, and it knows these are the things Power Apps is going to be sending me. It's going to send me things like what is the updated manager email or what are the updated properties. So I'm just going to say, hey, if any of the updated properties include the business start date, I want to kind of branch into some conditions here. So I'll even rename this. If they are updating the business start. Okay, and I could go here, and if the answer is yes, do one set of actions, and if the answer is no, do another. Now, we'll come back to this condition in a second, but there's one other aspect I want to show you how easy it is to do, and that's I need to call into my own legacy APIs, right? So I click this drop down here, and you see we have some more advanced options of integration points with Logic Apps. I can integrate into things like Azure Functions if I want to execute snippets of code, like C#, JavaScript, Python, whatever. But I also have this nice drop down here which says, hey, go look at API management, and go look at all the APIs that I've added through API management. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, show me APIs that are in API management. And you see here's Contoso, our API management instance where we just imported this API. And Logic Apps knows, oh, hey, you've got this branch management API. Do you want me to talk to that? And I say, absolutely, I do. And it knows here's what API management has operations for. When I click this, now I have a first-class experience to my update branch API. This old legacy API where some systems admin had to wait for a queue to update a branch information. Now I can say, hey, from whatever the Power App sends, just update things like the ID or update the title and so on. Maybe after something's updated, I want to integrate with another one of my systems. Maybe this is a SaaS application. So I want to send an email to the branch manager letting know something got updated. I could use Office 365, SendGrid, SMTP. I'm just going to use Office 365. And I'm going to go ahead and send an email to the manager. So I'll say use the manager's email and send him that said your update request was approved. So you're seeing how quickly it is to chain these services together. Whether they're your own APIs, even line of business on-premises APIs, or services like Salesforce, Dynamics, et cetera. Now, there's one other pattern I want to show you very quickly before we move on to some more cool stuff, which is that workflows can actually adopt a number of different integration patterns. And one of them is kind of a wait for an approval, wait for an external signal before you continue. So in this case, let's go back to this condition we set up, which is if they're trying to change the business start date. And I want to make sure that somebody gives the green light before we update this in our API. So I'm going to do this send approval mail step. Now you can extend and follow this pattern with any API that you want, but what this step's actually going to do is going to send an email to, in this case, my ops director, which conveniently has the email logicappdemo@outlook.com. And it's going to say, hey, there's an approval request to update a business start date. And do you want to approve or reject this request? And I could add more properties so that I could fill in the email with, like, here's what the old value was, here's what the new value is. But for the sake of time, this workflow is going to pause at this step and wait until that email has a signal sent back that they approved or rejected it. So let's go ahead and add one more condition in here. And this time we want to know, well, what did they select? Did they approve or did they reject this? Because I want to do different things depending. So let's say if they selected the option reject, let's just stop the workflow. Where they rejected it. Ideally, I would send an email back that said, like, hey, by the way, you got rejected, just like your high school prom. But in this case, I'm just going to cancel the workflow right there, okay? So again, just that quickly, we're able to integrate across a number of different systems, do things like approvals, pausing, waiting. If I had more time, you could show about how we could do loops. I could also call into an on-premise BizTalk orchestration if I wanted to send it with BizTalk. But let me show you actually how easy it is to use other offerings within the business application platform, like Power Apps. So it's one thing to have this workflow ready. It's one thing to have your API accessible. But we still need our branch managers to be able to play with this API and modify it. And that's where tools like Power Apps really increase your speed of delivery. So I created a really simple Power App where I connected into my API Manage branch API, which is now extensible. And I also connected into my Logic App. And I generated this really quick Power App that just lists all the branches that I have. I'm going to go ahead and run it. This could be running on Android, iOS, Windows, obviously. Let's go ahead and change my Ignite booth start date. So I can drill in. I can say I want to edit. This was one of the out-of-the-box templates to have kind of this CRUD operation Power App. So really easy to set up. And let's go ahead and set the business start date as today. And when I go ahead and click this checkbox up here to submit this, behind the scenes, it's going to call off this Logic App for us. So let's actually switch, and we should see here, if my session didn't expire, which it did, of course, we'll switch over here to my inbox, which I don't have open, which is fine. I'll open it really quick while this loads. And I should have an approval email sitting here waiting for me to approve. So right there, I have this nice email that said, hey, by the way, they're trying to change the date to September 27th in this case. And while I wait for this to load, we could actually browse into this workflow and see what was happening at this step. I'm just going to go ahead and approve it right now, and I'll show you the run history once that loads up. Okay, so I approved it. I was the branch manager. I'm actually going to get another email right away that said your update was successful. You remember that last step we added. Now let's come back in here. I don't know why this is taking so long to load up. Let me show you how you can manage your Logic apps to not just create workflows, but understand exactly what happened within them. So let's come here and we'll say Ignite Live. Please don't screw up demo. Or it's Ignite Update Branch. That's the one. Okay. So here's the workflow that just fired. You see 2:59 p.m. is when it ran. I can see all my runs that have happened here. I can see if there's failures or issues. I can look at diagnostics data. But here's the one that I just did here. You can see I got some data from Power Apps. This was the information I said about what I want to update the API as. I had to go through this approval process. Then I talked to my API that we just imported to API Management. And finally, I sent me that nice friendly email at the end. So now you show back up into the business group and you say, hey, remember how you wanted to give business leaders access to manage their branch stuff? Well, it's ready to go. I didn't have to buy any capital expenses. It only took me a few weeks. You expected me to be a turtle. You thought this was going to take 9 months and I was going to ask for hundreds of thousands of dollars. This took a month and we're only paying for what we use. And the business is shocked. They're like, whoa, this is very cheetah-like. I'm stoked. And they get a little bit greedy. And they say, you know what? This is so cool. But what we could really use here is that as customers interact with our branches, if they go to a branch or if they're looking at our website for where the closest branch is, there's an email address there. And customers love to send emails to us. And they send us emails like, wow, my dog has never smelled so good. Thank you so much, Kintoso. Or sometimes they send us emails and they're like, I waited for 4 days and my dog still didn't come out. Or so I don't know, something crazy in our Redmond branch has something crazy going on. And so they're like, is there a way that you can take those emails and that feedback from customers and put it in a database for us so that we can understand which branches are healthy and which ones need more work? And so you say, hey, that's a great request. Give me a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and I'll come back with a proposal. And you say 3 or 4 weeks because you were at the session today and you know it's only going to take you a week and a half and you want to blow their socks off again because it's almost review season and you know that you're about to get that promotion. So you come back down and you sit down and you're like, all right, Logic Apps, what can we do here? Let's speed up my development. And I'm going to go ahead here. I'll actually start from totally blank. So when you first start a Logic App, you can actually choose from a number of different templates. When all of you leave this session, if you haven't already, and you go to create your first Logic App, this is what you'll see in the Azure portal. I'm going to start from blank here. And again, I can choose from a number of different triggers. In this case, I want to trigger whenever I get emails from this customer support mailbox. So I'm going to go ahead and fire whenever I get emails. Now, I could do this extremely fast, and I could say, you know what, let's add a new step right now, and let's just drop this into a SQL database. Maybe it's even SQL on-premises. It doesn't really matter. So within 2 steps, I would be doing what they asked for. I would go and I would hand them the report, and I said, here's all your customer emails. But we know that IT is about innovation and transformation, that we have to create competitive advantages in our enterprises. So you're not just going to say insert into SQL. You're going to tap into the power of the cloud. So I'm going to show you a different service. This is one of my favorite services in Azure. Who here is familiar with the Azure Cognitive Services, if you can show me with a raise of hands? Okay, if you're not, don't look it up now, because I want you to watch this demo. But you should check out Azure Cognitive Services. These things are incredible. Obviously, you know from the keynotes, Microsoft's investing a lot in artificial intelligence, in bots, in machine learning, and bringing an intelligent cloud to your businesses. Cognitive Services are one way that we're doing this. As they're building things for Cortana, like image detection or emotion detection or sentiment detection, they're not just sticking that into Cortana. They're making those APIs available for any developer. So if you want to type into that kind of machine learning power, it's as easy as what I'm about to show you now through Logic Apps. So I'm going to go ahead and detect the sentiment of this email. I want to know, is this person super pissed off that they had to wait for 4 days? Or is this person thrilled because their dog smells like roses and pineapples or whatever? So I say, hey, I want to detect sentiment. And it says, okay, what's the sentiment you want to detect? And I'm going to go ahead and just say, well, go detect the sentiment of this email. And the Logic App's going to call this machine learning API and return back a score. It's a 0 to 1 scale, and 1 is like the most positive email that anyone has ever sent, and a 0 is like the most negative, angry thing that anyone has ever sent. So let's go ahead and detect sentiment. We're going to add in one more cognitive service here, which is pull out key phrases. Because maybe there's a, and so you see here, actually, I could use the score here. But let's go ahead and pull out key phrases, because maybe there's a correlation between people who are really angry and the phrase wait times, and people who are really thrilled and the term lilac shampoo. I don't know. And you want to know what that correlation is. So I'm going to go and pull out key phrases. And now I could start adding steps like add to SQL. And now I'm not only just adding the customer email, I'm adding rich insights into the email. I'm telling you, what is this email's sentiment? What are the key phrases they're talking about? I can obviously take it even one step further. I could publish this all in a Power BI dashboard. So now I'm not just giving them access to a SQL database to say, go read through all these customer emails. I'm giving them a heads-up display so they can see real-time how my branches are performing. Are there areas that I need to be aware of? Are there places I need to take action on? This is where you really start to see this innovation and this transformation. Now, it's fun to talk about all of this stuff. I love demoing this stuff. It's exciting to me. You can probably tell I talk really fast when I start doing this stuff because I'm like, come on, I need to finish so you guys can all open up Azure and start using this. So I want you to start using it. Now, obviously, you can't probably start using Logic Apps right now, but here's what we've put together. Here is our Power BI dashboard that's going to assess the health of our branches. But instead of triggering off of email, I've created another Logic App, and I'll show you that Logic App in a second. What I want everyone to do here is open up your phones and type in this phone number to send a text message. And we have a little contest going on, okay? So while you're getting ready to send a text message, we have some shirts up here, we have some beautiful stickers, we got swag, and I want to know who can text the absolute most positive text in the entire world. It's got to be more than a few words, it's got to be like three or four words, write a nice little sentence or a few sentences. But if you write the most positive text, I'm not going to show your phone numbers up here, I'm only going to show the last four digits, but whoever writes the most positive text here, you get a t-shirt. And if your text happens to be about Logic Apps, if you mention Logic Apps in your text message, I'll give you a t-shirt and a handful of stickers.
Now, just to be clear, this is a text about the presentation, okay? Because we want to show our bosses. So, so it's not about the dog and not about the wash, not about the fragrance or any of that. This is about, you know, you attended the session and, you know.
But remember, it has to be the most positive thing in the
positive
world.
And if you mentioned Logic Apps, you might get some bonus points. But if you think of your vocabulary choice very carefully here, because the better words you pick, you know, the higher your score, and then we're going to give some swag away. And then, of course, you know, we're going to, at review time, we're going to put all of those, the top 10 in our review system and, you know, show how well we did it.
Okay, so while I wait for this to load, because that's the challenge with demos is you do enough of these tabs that everything starts timing out. But while I wait for this to load, I'll open up a new tab. I'll actually show you what this Logic App is doing. Now, I actually have a video in, something is going wrong with Power BI. Let's try over here. I actually have a video on Channel 9 where I walk through building a Logic App that responds to text messages. I'll pop that number back on the screen in a second. I'm just trying to get this dashboard to pop up because apparently it timed out and now it thinks something has gone terribly wrong. Let me sign in. But I'll walk you through what this Logic App is doing. And at the end of our deck, we actually have a link that you can go and watch a walkthrough and build a similar Logic App pretty easily. So let's come here since my multi-auth is now having hiccups. Man, this is the coolest part. And now I'm stuck at this. Something is wrong. All right, we might have to remote in. Do the old trick of using a different machine. Let's try a two-factor auth really quickly. And hopefully you're texting this, and actually while you text this number, you should be getting a response back, and it should tell you what your current sentiment score is, so you know what you're up against. And I'm gonna send a text message that says something like, Logic Apps is the most incredible thing in the world, and you're all gonna have to beat that sentiment score in order to get the shirt, or else I'm taking these home. So let's see here, let me auth in. Here's the auth request. Look how secure we are, making sure that I'm the right person using this dashboard. Okay, and we'll come over to our dashboards. Something is wrong with Power BI. This is not just my own demo. All right, let me walk you through the sign up and then I'll try to figure out what's going on with Power BI. Apparently it's bad timing on my part. So here's what this Logic App's doing that you're calling. I'll walk you through it really quick. It's triggering on a request trigger, similar to our Power Apps one, but this time I've configured Twilio, and Twilio, which is this SMS service, is sending all the text messages to this number, to this Logic App trigger right here. And as I get those text messages from Twilio, and there's the number in case you need it still, the first thing I'm doing is I'm actually running an Azure function. It's like three lines of JavaScript code, and I'm just pulling out things like the body of the text, the phone number, so that I can use it later on. Now I'm running it through those sentiment analysis services that I showed you about. And if you texted something negative, I send you back a response. What does that response look like? It's something like, I hope none of you got it because it means you're playing wrong. It says, you're going the wrong way. This looks negative. And I give you the score and the key phrases. And if it's positive, I tell you it's positive. Excuse me. And then finally, I'm pushing all of this to an Azure Event Hub so that it can show up in a Power BI dashboard. Now let's all cross our fingers and hope that the demo gods are on our side, and we're going to try Power BI one more time. Something is terribly wrong. So let me try to remote in, because I really want you to see this live dashboard. And it's, I guess it's because I'm missing this meeting right now. Let's come in here. Man, what a shame. Jim, do you know anyone on the Power BI team that we can tell that this is unfortunate? Man, I don't want you to have to take my word for it. Okay, so while we do that, I'll still be able to see who won. I'm actually going to remote into my home machine. We're going rogue right now. I hope this isn't being recorded, and I hope my wife's not using the computer, and I don't even know what's going to be on here right now. Okay, oh good, it's just about my session, because this is what I do. I just looked at my session. All right, let's check this out over here. Let's see if Redmond, Washington's going to give us a little bit nicer connectivity. So let's connect back in over here. She was using Shutterfly earlier. Hopefully she doesn't mind. All right. Come in here, authenticate again. I'm really demoing right now security and how secure we are, and that, you know, this data is so important that we really want to make sure we're not recording it and sharing it with the world. But if we get the error on this screen, I'm just going to chalk it up to there's some issue right now with the dog food branch of Power BI, which is what we're all running off of. So let's see. Oh, this is something's wrong with our dog food branch. I can't show you. This is heartbreaking. All right. We'll stop by our booth later once this is back up and running. That's shocking, actually. There's a real-time dashboard. It's lighting up like a Christmas tree right now. There's a map. I'm just going to explain it to you because it's almost just as exciting. There's a map, and I see that people right now are texting from Australia, and we have other people texting from Antarctica. And the most positive tweet said, "Wow, that is the most handsome presenter I have ever seen in my life." And the gray-haired guy was okay, too. But I'll see if this will pop up. We'll try again because we've got a little bit of time. We'll close it off. We'll try one more time and see if you notice here, we're such good citizens at Microsoft. We always run on the latest dog food of all the builds, and I'm guessing that that is actually to our own detriment right now. So let's pop this back up. At the very least, while we finish this off, and I'll pass it over to Jim, and then we'll try this off. Actually, I don't even want to spoil that slide for you. We're really excited about the power of Microsoft integration. We're really excited about, as a team, of how you can extend your systems, modernize your systems, and achieve this digital transformation. But what I love hearing the most from customers is when they say, this not only added more business value, it did things like cutting cost, or it drastically cut our development time. And that's really what we want all of you to realize. And hopefully, just from building these on stage and understanding that just as quickly as I built these on stage, you can check all those workflows into source control. You could, in one click, deploy that entire workflow that built that Power BI dashboard. You could deploy that into any region in the world. That's extremely powerful. It's no longer, oh, well, now I've got to go provision some servers. I've got to make sure that we have the scale that we need. It's, no, this is what I want you to do, Azure. I'm going to tell you to do it. If I only use it once, if I'm just testing it out, I don't even pay anything. And if the next day I'm saying, hey, Azure, take this, and I throw a million actions at it, it's just going to scale up and run a million actions for you. It's extremely powerful. We want it to transform your businesses. The last personal pitch that I'll give, and we'll cross our fingers that Power BI will fix itself in the next 5 or 10 minutes, is that if you have any questions, if you're interested in anything that I've shown you here today, if you want to learn more, you want to talk to somebody on the team, or maybe you want us to meet someone at your company or your business or one of your clients, please reach out to us. We're at the Microsoft integration booth all week. We have business cards here. We're always available through email. I don't want to be some person behind a curtain that you only see at conferences. Please reach out. I'm more than happy to help, to talk to you, to get your ideas and your feedback. So with that, Jim, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll give Power BI one more shot after that.
Thanks, Jeff. I think we should give him a round of applause for hanging in there. I mean, it is gutsy to, you know, be in the dog food container when we do these demos, but we like using the latest technology when we do it. So some closing thoughts, and Jeff was so cheetah-like, we're actually running early. So, you know, usually we're like right up against the time, we don't have time for questions. So I think we'll be able to take time for some questions as well. But I wanted to kind of just recap a couple things that just came to mind. So, you know, one of it is we're really working hard to make sure that integration is not the bottleneck in the enterprise. There's so many other challenges that you have. We don't want integrations to be the primary one. And we know it is. We know it has been a major source of pain. So we're really working hard to really try to make it simpler. And what that really means is we're working hard as a team, as a Microsoft, as one Microsoft team, to really give first-class experiences across all of our integration tools. And so you're going to see that, just like you know, you got to see the API management within Logic Apps. And you know, we've got all of these things where we're really following the Microsoft, what we learned from Microsoft Office. And remember, everything started with Word, and then there was Excel, and then there was PowerPoint. And then somebody said, well, how do we make those better together? You know, and then they started thinking about Office, and then they started improving upon that. And now you just expect all those things to work together. And that's really the the marching orders that we have in the integration space and really leading Microsoft integration is that we want all of our applications to work better together. We want to be able to be more cheetah-like in terms of how fast we move. And those of you that have been following us since the first of the year, you can see that we've really sped up quite a bit in terms of our development for BizTalk, Logic Apps, what we're doing with API management now. You're really seeing our velocity speed up. So we are trying to lead by example. The other thing is just in terms of really thinking about API management in terms of that API first strategy, we're really, really trying to focus more on how to unlock all of those capabilities in your line of business applications today. And that really is through API and the API economy. I think everything really centers around that. So you're going to see us putting a lot more wood behind the arrow in terms of what we're doing with API management and some really cool stuff that that Vladimir is working on in API management that we really want to kind of draw your attention to. And then the other thing is, again, just a reminder on Logic Apps that we were very purposeful in how we priced it. So it's all consumption-based. There's no minimum fee to make. So we've made it extremely frictionless for you to start using Logic Apps today. And we did that on purpose. We want you to use it. We want you to try it. So with that, there's a couple last-minute links.
Yep.
I don't know where I do with my clicker.
That's fine.
So how to get started, we have this really great link, this try link, where you can actually try Logic Apps without having to have an Azure subscription that we invite you to if you haven't played with it yet. There's tutorials, Logic Apps Live. The team does a monthly live webcast, and it's quite informative and hysterical at the same time that Kevin and Jeff and John and the team does. So you can tune in for that. You can follow us on Twitter and the Logic Apps IO. And then we have some great sessions coming up. We also have our integration booth in the Azure Hall, so you can come find us and the team will be there. We have some really great presentations coming up that I really wanted to call out. First, we have BizTalk and Logic Apps connectivity in a theater session that the team is doing. We've got Manage with API management that Vlad and Matthew and the team are doing. We brought everybody from the team here, all of the program managers from the team are here, and they're here to really help you really understand how to get the most out of this integration space. So we have another repeat of the connectivity, and then Stephen from our Microsoft Flow team is here, is doing a deep dive of Microsoft Flow. I really encourage you to go take a look at that if you haven't seen it, particularly if you're interested in really empowering your citizen power users in your organization to be able to do some really cool integration work themselves. And then we have a Logic Apps breakout session to end with. All right, so with that, if there's any questions, come up to the speaker or to the microphone so we can get it on recording. We're happy to take any questions you might have. Jeff, you can flip over also and see if your
stuff. Power I've been BI checking thing. It on my phone. It's okay. Still down. Yeah, you can go ask there and I'll just repeat it and that way people can hear. I actually might need you to go to the mic. I'm having a hard time hearing up here. If you can just, step up to the mic.
So we are actually at present implementing the Microsoft Dynamics AX, and we have some complex integration scenarios where we have to, or we are trying to transfer data from on-prem systems to the cloud.
Yep.
And we are using the Service Bus, but we have some problem transferring the big messages because we have the SAP PI, which handles the XML-based messaging.
Yep.
And those are quite big, like 15, 10 MB, more than 10 MB.
Yep.
And probably it is not possible at the moment to transfer those big messages to the cloud service.
Yeah, so the question's a little bit, you're doing integrations with Dynamics AX. You're using Service Bus right now, but you need to pass some really big XML files that are 10 to 15 MB?
Yep.
Yep. So the main constraint there is Service Bus, an individual message, I believe, is maxed out at 256K. I don't know if that sounds right. So usually you have to do stitching when you're doing Service Bus, or 1 meg for dedicated. Thank you. So if you were able to send the file directly to a Logic app without Service Bus, I'll talk that, whether it's through either a custom API or FTP or something else. Logic apps can handle up to 100 MB per run. The one thing we're working on right now is batching. I'm sorry to steal Kevin's thunder because I know he's going to talk about that, which would be potentially you could send them up in multiple parts through Service Bus and then just batch them within a Logic app and say, hey, wait until I have all the pieces of this file together, potentially stitch it together. It's not possible today. It's something we're working on right now. We're just finalizing design for. So the hardest part there is going to be the aggregating the different pieces of Service Bus. You could accomplish it through, you know, custom code for right now, but it is something we're working on. And if you've got more questions, we're happy to sync up and talk about patterns.
Do you have any estimates when this will be available, like in coming release or?
For timeline?
Yeah.
I don't know what the timeline would be for batching.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Thanks. Any other questions?
Come on up.
I'm going to check Power BI while he's walking up there because, man, it was such a cool dashboard, you guys.
So my question is more around the integration between Logic apps and things like web API management. So as you have new functions and features for your APIs, when those contracts change, how do you visualize all of these things working together with things like contract changing or such?
Yep. So ideally, whenever you're doing a change with an API, there's a version there as well. So you're versioning your API, you're not making any breaking changes. So like all of our out-of-the-box connectors, we have versioning. So if Dropbox says, hey, we're going to have V3 Dropbox API that lets you, I don't know, whatever Dropbox says they wants to do, we would version the API so everything that's currently existing that customers have already set up keeps running completely fine and all the new stuff keeps working. API management actually has a bunch of cool features to help you do versioning. I would actually really encourage going to the API management thing. In terms of the Logic app specifically, the Logic app's actually just reading the Swagger metadata around the API every time you're in the designer to know what the shape of the API is. So if I was to go in right now to API management and change that branch API, maybe change it so I no longer expect a branch ID, but I expect a branch name, once I open up the designer, it's going to say, hey, by the way, you know, I see that there's new data, and the Logic app shape's just going to change based on the API. But that's usually bad practice. Like you don't ever want to break existing APIs. You want to version it. And if you don't want to necessarily have two versions of your code, API management gives some nice things around policies to give you better version control. Does that help a little bit?
Yes, yeah, so you actually have two Logic apps. I guess. Would it still be one Logic app?
Yeah, I would imagine, let's say you have your V1 API and you build your Logic app against it.
Yeah.
You go and you deploy your V2 and your V2 is ready to go. And as soon as you want to, you would open up that Logic app and just start pointing it to V2. And again, there's some actually pretty cool stuff you can do with API management where you can auto-upgrade things without having to go and open them and edit it. But yeah, good question. Good? All right, I'm going to cross our fingers here. You can see if there's any other questions. Because I want to give out the shirt.
Questions?
Now something's wrong. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a really good question. John?
Yeah.
Why don't you go up to the mic? Repeat the question.
So the question is, what are we doing about tracking and visualizing tracking in some kind of portal? And the second one was about what are we doing about rules? So the first thing I'd say is come to our session on Thursday that Kevin and I are doing, and we'll talk about tracking quite a bit more. But I can say now that today we actually emit rich metadata around events from logic apps, each action, and all the inputs and outputs of all of that. And you can route that, goes to storage, you can route that to Event Hub, and then you can do something with it yourself. But particularly for B2B, where we expect people to do things, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of things and the aggregations of that, provide a higher level understanding around that using Ops Management Suite. And I'll talk a bit more about that on Thursday. Second one, Rules Engine. Yeah. We should talk offline probably a bit more about that. I know that you know, it's an often asked question, what we're doing about rules, and it's something we're still thinking about. But I'd love to understand your scenarios a bit more, particularly around, you know, are you doing kind of complex decision logic, and in which case can you do that another way using the extensibility that we have around functions and API apps, or is it really genuinely some kind of, you know, you have a million rules that you need to do evaluation over, which is a different type of problem. So we should talk a bit more.
Perfect. Thanks, John. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, because the dog food environment still have an issue. So does anyone here actually think they have the most positive text? Did anyone get a score of like 0.999 something? What's yours right there? You raised your hand. What's your score that you got back?
Well, I did 3, but I think my highest was
9.7. 9.7, and what's the text? Is it appropriate to share?
Oh, we have a 9.8.
Oh, a 9.8?
I got three nines.
Okay, three nines. We're at 3.9. This is why we need Power BI. Anyone higher than 3.9? I hope you didn't just cheat the system, because if you text just the word awesome, it gives you 100%. But that's cheating. I actually wouldn't have given you a shirt. I would have narrowed it out. What's the 3.9 text say?
You are the wind beneath my wings. Oh my God.
Did you do the emojis with the song too?
I had that coming too. Especially your taste, cognitive services, glorious! Exclamation, smiley.
Wow! Oh, That's what the T-shirt's gonna say. Honestly. All right. Thank you so much for coming. I'll tell you what. Everyone who came today, because I think we have enough shirts. If you stop by our booth, we'll give you a T-shirt.
Yeah, we'll give you a shirt. Also, they really do read those reviews, but they also pay attention if you don't get any reviews. So if you want to see us speaking again, we really would appreciate it if you would
fill out your evaluation.
Out, because if we don't get any comments, they assume that it was terrible. So we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for coming very much.
Thanks so much.